Good morning. Y'all know what that song is? Amen. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. I love that song. Why I love that song has nothing to do with the place that we're at. Has nothing to do with it having a steeple on the building. Has nothing to do with the pews that you're sitting on or the cross that's hanging on the wall or any of that stuff. It has to do with the fact that if you're someplace and you are His child, then you're standing on holy ground. Did you know that? That's good stuff right there. It is good to be with you this morning. I'm excited. We're going to begin a new series of messages this morning that I kind of forewarned you about last week called I Am a Church Member. It's based on a book written by Tom Rainer, which is the CEO of Lifeway, which is where we get all of our material from. I had asked last Sunday evening, I believe, those that would be interested in the book to let me know, and there was five of you, and I went ahead and picked up 20 anyway. So if you're interested in having this book, it's 6 weeks. We're going to have 6 messages. Ain't that good? Today. Oh, no, just kidding. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be going through it. It's a book. It's real small. Even guys like me can read it that don't know very big words. It's got like 70 pages, give or take, 20 or 30. It takes you about 45 minutes to read it. If you're interested in one of those, I have some. They're here on the front pew. If you will meet with my wife after service this morning, you can pick you one up. They're $5. If you can't afford that, then we will make sure that you get one anyway. However, we need to take care of that if you have a desire to have one. But what we're going to do is we're going to follow along with that book, and I'm going to say some things that are not necessarily in there, and it's going to say some things that I'm not necessarily going to say. So if you want that, it will be made available to you. And really, why I have just kind of felt led to address this subject of I am a church member is really I believe that we've got a bad thinking of what church membership should look like. Three of you agree. That's okay. I'm sure maybe even those three will even question their agreement with me before the day's over. I suppose that if we were going to, if I was to take a survey this morning and ask each and every one of you, what does church membership look like to you? What does it mean to you in your life? I would imagine that there would be quite a wide array of different answers. Amen? Because really we like to take and define things as it pertains to our own terms. Well, what makes me feel good about what I'm doing, that's the way I want to define something. And that's why I believe that there's so many people we abandoning the church en masse is because the people that are already in the church have a bad definition of what church membership is supposed to be. And so we try to force that on other people. And they come in and they're like, I want to become a member of your church. I want to become a member of the church. And they're like, well, that don't sound all that appealing to me. Right? We really have this poor definition of church membership. There was an ad campaign some years back that said membership has its privileges. Y'all remember who that was for? American Express. Membership has its privileges, and it's this definition that we've taken, said that definition of membership, that's what I want to bring into the church, right? We want to define church membership in such a way that it talks about what kind of benefits do I get for being a member? What kind of perks is there? What privileges do I get by becoming a member? And we look at it in these terms. Let's see, Chris, you member of a country club? Amen. Okay. Well, let me pick on you. Y'all ain't helped me out at all. Where did Charlene go? I'll pick on her. There she is. Y'all, you can't be moving on me. That just blows my mind. Do y'all have to pay any membership dues for your country club?
We do. They're very
expensive. What we do when we join a country club, I'm just assuming, Chris, is if you join a country club of some sort, that you pay your dues and you have this expectation, because I've paid my dues, I deserve to be served. I deserve the perks and privileges with what comes out of my wallet. I now deserve something. We come into the church, we bring that same mentality. Well, because I pay my dues, because I put some money in the offering plate, I now deserve some perks. I now deserve some privileges that I didn't have as just a normal comer. Because I brought something to the covered dish dinner, a fellowship dinner on the third Wednesday of the month. That's this Wednesday, amen. Going to eat. Because I brought a covered dish, that means I've paid my dues. I deserve something in return for that. Yes? No? I show up once in a while for church, and because I do that, then that means that I deserve my privileges. Because I've paid my dues, those privileges that we oftentimes they're masked. We really don't say them in these terms, but this is really what we mean. Well, I demand that the temperature be set, and I wrote this in there just for you, Angela. I know, but it's still fun for me because I have the microphone and you don't. I demand that the temperature be set the way I want it. Right? I demand that you play the style of music, Brother Tom, that I like. Uh-huh. It's going to be a long 6 weeks. I can tell that already. I demand, preacher, that you preach in a time slot that I feel comfortable. Tom really tries to convince me that a good sermon ought to be like good bologna. You ought to be able to cut it off anywhere. I'm a firm believer you ought to preach till they're all asleep or they're all gone, one or the other. But isn't that what we do? I mean, we're sitting here laughing, but we come into the church week after week, and we may not be so grandiose about it, but we demand that stuff look, feel, we experience stuff just like I want it, or else I'm going to take my ball and go home. Is that not right? So we develop this viewpoint that church is for me and not me for the church. Let's open up our Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. Y'all are getting better. Slowly. I might. We'll see how long that lasts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to begin reading in verse 12. We're going to read through the end of the chapter, and don't get too excited. We're not going to cover all that, because I know some of you were fixing to say, remember, I deserve you to preach however long I want. We're going to get into chapter 13 too. Well, it's really going to be a launching off spot. It's really going to be a place where we can begin this journey, if you will, as to what true membership looks like. We'll refer back to this quite a bit as we go through it. But really what Paul is doing is he's addressing the Corinthian church, and they had really made a mess of what church life is supposed to look like. They had gotten to the point where they were fighting and arguing over who had the best gifts. You really weren't saved if you didn't have the gift that I got. Tongues is a better gift than being a helper and administrator, those types of things. I mean, just all kinds of just ridiculous teaching going on in this church. And really, if you look at chapters 12, 13, and 14, it's really Paul trying to address what church life should look like, what church membership should look like in the life of a believer. And so we're going to read through part of that. If you found 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning of verse 12, say amen. Let's all stand together, and we will read and we will take off like we got good sense. Everybody ready? Smile real big. Okay. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, behold, I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set members, I want you all to remember that, put your finger there, highlight it, you know, stab your person sitting next to you, write it in blood or something right there. We're going to come back. Each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if there were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again to the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism. I just love that word. That's fun. I want you to use that in a sentence today before the day is over. That there is no should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. That the members should have the same care for one another. That That the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, then all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do you all have gifts of healings? Do you all speak with tongues? Do you all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you this morning just for this beautiful Lord's Day. We thank you for the cooler weather. We thank you for the rain you've sent our way this week. Amen. Father, I thank you for those that are here. And Father, I pray for those that aren't, that are traveling, that are sick, that are for various reasons. I pray that you would just bless them and meet each individual need that they have. Father, I pray that as we look through this idea of what true church membership looks like, biblical church membership looks like, Father, I pray in my life where I have bad theology in this area, where I have stinking thinking, as it were, in this area, I pray that you would convict me. But Father, I pray that us as a church body, us as a whole, we would each individually look within ourselves and determine whether or not our membership in this church really looks like what you would have it to look like. I pray, Father, that through this study is over the next several weeks, that, Father, we would be drawn closer together in unity under your headship and your lordship, and that you may be glorified in all that's done. And so, Father, we're just going to leave all things in your hands this morning, trusting you to do that which only you can do, and that's to change hearts and change lives. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to speak on this subject this morning. I will be a functioning church member. I will be a functioning church member. And let me tell you how this is going to work, kind of. I don't know how it's going to work yet. What we're going to do is we're going to look at these six things. We're going to look at these six areas. At the end of each service, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a commitment. And it's going to be a public commitment. And this is where everybody starts getting nervous and people's like, preacher done lost his mind. As if he had one to begin with, those types of things. Here's why it's going to be a public commitment. When we're talking about church membership, we're talking about this body as a whole, amen? And whenever you make a decision, whenever you do something, whenever I do something, I make a decision, it not only just affects me, but it affects the entire body. Right? And so if we're going to talk about church membership, and we're going to talk about what it ought to look like as it pertains to what the Bible's definition would say, then it ought to be a public display of what you're committing to. Or what you're choosing not to commit to. Amen. Okay. Well, let's answer a question real quick before we get going. This is, don't clock me yet. It's still introduction. Let's answer this question before we begin. So, because there's so many that debate this very premise of church membership. Is church membership biblical? The short answer is yes. The short answer is yes, and I'll explain that here in just a moment, but I will be forthcoming and say, oftentimes the way we do it is not. And you can choose to argue that with me, just not right now. But this idea of walking an aisle, signing a card, saying, let's take a vote, does so-and-so want to join the church, is not church membership. That's why I don't do it, if y'all hadn't noticed. A lot of the ways that we try to do things within the church are not necessarily biblical, but I want us to see this morning what a biblical definition of church membership actually looks like, and is it biblical? And here's my defense as to why it's biblical. If you look at the word church throughout the entirety of the Bible and throughout the entirety of the New Testament, it's the word ecclesia. The Greek word ecclesia literally means, to translate it, means a called out assembly or a called out body. Well, preacher, that simply means this, that any that's confessed Christ as Lord, they're the church. They're the one that's been called out. And you'd be absolutely right. But it doesn't stop there. Well, how do I know that it doesn't stop there? Well, don't turn here and don't try to keep up with me because you'd be wasting your time. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul writes to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, he writes to the church at Corinth. To 1 Thessalonians 1, 1, he writes to the church of the Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, he's writing to the church at of the Thessalonians. You get over into the book of Revelation, and it's talking, the angel's talking about Jesus is talking about addressing the seven churches, to the church at Philadelphia, to the church at Laodicea, to the church at Ephesus, to, amen? So what he's saying, what that means is to the called out assembly who happens to be in Big Cabin today. Well, I still don't get the membership part. Well, look there in verse 27. He says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and you are members individually." So we have a called out assembly here in Big Cabin, and we're called out to the service of God here in Big Cabin, and we are to gather together, and we are all members. Individually. So we now have this idea of members within a called out local assembly of people. So is church membership biblical? Amen. Since we've established that church membership is biblical, let's get going. You can start the clock now, okay? Y'all ready? Huh? Well, I don't... You're not driving this boat. You can't start. Because my number one doesn't show up till right now. Number one, membership means that we are all necessary parts of a whole. Membership means that we are all necessary parts of a whole. Any puzzlers in here? Anybody like to put puzzles together? I love, Miss Linda, we're just going to have a party. It's just you and me. We got three. Bless you. Golly. Amen. I love putting together puzzles. You know, because I have nothing better to do with my time than to sit in front of one and just scream at it for 4 hours because I can't find a piece. But have you ever just spent, you know, you invest your time into one of them 5,000-piece puzzles and you look at the box, man, this is going to be a beautiful picture. Man, we're going to put some glue on the back of that thing, Matt. We're going to hang it on the wall. It's going to be so pretty, right? And you spend hours and days and weeks putting this puzzle together, and you get all the way, and you put the last piece in, and you got a big gaping hole because there's a piece missing. Now, don't that ever just tick you off? Huh? Amen? I mean, Sorry, I'm just having myself a spiritual moment. I mean, it just drives me insane. I want to throw that thing across the room. You've invested all that time and all that effort into putting that thing together, and there's a big gaping hole. Well, what's the point in all that? Well, all those pieces, they're necessary if you want to make up the whole. If you have pieces missing, then the whole is no longer whole. It's just a bunch of pieces that happen to be stuck together with a big hole in it. And it can't never be over to the... I'm sorry. It's got to be right in the middle of where everything's going on. It can't be something stuck over somewhere where, you know, you can kind of cover it up with something. It's got to... Sorry. Verse 12 says this, "For as the body is one, it has many members, but all the members are of that one body." Verse 20 says this, "But now indeed there are many members, yet there is one body." Verse 27 says this, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individual." If you spend some time and you look at those pieces, they're all different, right? There ain't no two of them cut the same. We try to make them fit. You know, you just bang on that thing and it's going to fit whether it wants, amen. But every one of those pieces are different. They only fit in one place. They only fit with their neighbors. They only fit within the confines of where they belong in the puzzle. But yet, they make up one beautiful picture when you're through. We as Big Kevin Baptist Church, we are a called out assembly here, but even though we're a whole, we're all vastly different. Amen. The closest thing we got to anything looking similar is me and my two boys, and just because they look like me, they act like their mother. So amen, praise God, if I make it to this afternoon. But we look similar. We have similar styles. We have similar shapes. We've got similar hair colors. Some wear glasses and some don't. Some are skinny and some of us are less skinny. You know, we're all different, but yet we make up one whole. And what we try to do, and let me just throw this in. You can stop the clock again, Angela, real quick. What we try to do is when we have new puzzle pieces come into the church, what's the first thing we try to do? We want to make them look just like we do. Huh? Is that not right? But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to find our place and insert ourselves there. We've got some feed in here. Because I can smell them. We've got some nosy... I mean, we got some noses in here. Amen. We got some eyes in here. We got some ears in here. We got lots of mouths in here. Now let me ask you this question. I mean, that's all fine and good and funny, but let me ask you this. What if you took and we removed your eyes and put ears where they belong? You're going to be one funny looking dude. You ain't going to be able to go nowhere because you can't see nothing. You may be able to hear better than everybody else in the building, but you can't see nothing. Right? He says we're all individuals. We're all different. We all need to find our place. Verse 27 through 30 says this. He says, "Now you are the body of Christ, members individual, and God has appointed these in the church." Y'all ready? "First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings and helps and administrations and varieties of tongues." He says, "Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? And do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" You say, "Well, wait a minute, preacher, we've got some people in here and there's more than one teacher." Amen. How many of you taught Sunday school this morning? Big hands. Don't be afraid. Any of you? I didn't tell you all put them down. This ain't Simon Says. Any of you that don't? What are you? You don't know how to listen to instructions? You put a hand up there. Any of you looking for a Sunday school class, get in touch with one of these. Amen? They would love to visit with you about what's going on in their Sunday school class. Now you can put them down, Caleb. Listen to instructions, buddy. We had all these teachers in here this morning. None of them looked alike. Aren't you glad you don't look like Caleb? None of them are the same, but yet they all have the same gift. Well, what are you getting at, preacher? Well, we may share the same gifts, but we're not the same people. We're going to do things differently. We're going to do things differently. And that's okay. I'm going to camp out here for a while and huh? Till y'all get this. That means I'm going to pick. There you are. I'm going to pick on Miss Bertha back here. She's thinking, hopefully he ain't looking at me. It means when I want to take the trash out, I want to be helpful to you. She's going to get after me. She's going to make me take the trash out. And I may not do it the same way you do, but by golly, it's okay. But here's why. Because so many people have come in and they desperately want to help. They desperately want to plug themselves in. But what do? We go back to what I said a while ago. We want to make them look just like us. We've got the same gifts as one another, but we're going to do them entirely different. Huh? There's a reason that generally whenever I'm building something, and I'm relatively decent at it. I'm not good. I'm not great, but I'm decent. I can get by. I don't want to work with anybody else. Why? I want to do it my way. Well, here's the difference. That's me at home. Don't come to my house and tell me how I'm doing. I need to do what I'm doing. But I'm not at my home. I'm here. I'm an individual piece of the greater body. And I need to get over the fact that I'm not the only one that knows how to do something, and I'm not the only one that knows how to do it, even though there's various ways of being able to accomplish the same task. We want to know, why don't more people step up to help? Well, because you've told them that this is how they're going to do it or get out of here, and they get out. Huh? Thank you. That makes me feel better. I'm just picking on you, Miss Bertha, okay? I was really, you know, talking about Betty because she's not here. Amen. She'll be coming around here screaming at me here in a minute. No, but really, have y'all stopped and thought about that? I don't know how many, and listen, this really takes place with the older generation. In as many older generation churches as I've preached in, I hear the same thing all the time. We just can't get nobody to do nothing around here. That's old people's only ones that does it. Why do you suppose that is? Because you've griped at all the young ones that they don't do it the same way you do. Let them do it. Let them mess it up. It's okay. Let them not do it your way or the right way. Whatever, you know. Let them function. Let them do what they feel led to do. And when they're not looking, sneak back in behind them and redo it the way you want to do it. I don't care. But don't condemn them for wanting to serve. Let's move on because y'all ain't liking that one. Membership means that we're all necessary parts of the whole. Number two, Angela, you ready? Membership means that we are different, but we all work together. Membership, man, I'll tell you what. This ain't going to make much for recording back here, Sam, but it's great for if you're present. Membership means that we're all different, but we all work together. I've shared with you this before, and I want to share it with you again. And we're having a good time this morning. Amen. Anybody having a good time? Amen. Okay. I want to continue to say this and say it just in as loving way as I possibly can. My goal is that God would, I'll blame it on God, I'll blame it on me. I want to make it uncomfortable for anyone to be a member of this church and to be comfortable doing absolutely nothing. Y'all hearing me? I want to make, if you're a member of this church, if you're a member of Big Cabin Baptist Church, my goal is that you would be uncomfortable to sit in here Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and do absolutely zero. Okay? Why? Because that's not biblical membership. That's not biblical membership. Remember, consider your bodies. The illustration that Paul uses as he addresses the Corinthian church. Remember, we're all members individually, and we all make up different parts. There's some noses, and there's some eyes, and there's some ears, and there's some feet, and there's some legs, and all these types of things. And would it be okay if just some of your parts just decided to stop working? Huh? What if your leg just decided to take a sabbatical? Huh? Well, it's, you know, oh, we could live without a leg. You know, we can get us a crutch. We can get us a prosthetic or something, peg leg. What about when your eyes start to fail? How does that affect you? What about when your kidneys start shutting down? Y'all with me? So why is it that we can't look at this illustration that Paul is using, that we're all like our own physical bodies? We all make up our individual parts, and we can realize in our own bodies whenever those parts are missing, when they're not functioning properly, that it has a detrimental effect on our body. But why is it we can't get in our mind that if we're a member, we're part of a body of believers at Big Cabin Baptist Church America, that whenever I'm not functioning, that we have an expectation that the church is going to just carry on hunky-dory without me? Huh? Is that not right? Whenever the members of a church body that are not working within that body, the whole body suffers because of it. Look at verse 26. And he says, if one member suffers, then what happens? The all suffers. If one member is honored, then the whole body is honored. Right? Is that not right? And we rejoice with it. Amen. Hey, Cecil, I'm so tickled. I'm smiling from ear to ear this morning when I pulled in the parking lot. I said, Cecil's standing up there at the door. For those of you who don't know, Brother Cecil had a kind of a health scare this week. He was in the hospital, had a heart attack, and praise the Lord, God worked all that out to where he got that taken care of about that quick. Home Wednesday, and here he sits Sunday. Man, that just tickles the fire out of me. That makes my day. And we all ought to rejoice in that. Amen? Amen. But here's the thing. Whenever we're rejoicing with the honoring of this, but whenever one of us is suffering, whether it's personal suffering, we all ought to suffer right alongside. But also, whenever our parts are missing, when they're absent, it ought to grieve us. Why? Because this body can't function without all its parts. It can, but it can't function to its optimal way. Remember this morning, I said as I opened in my long introduction, Miss Angela, that I said we've developed this idea that church membership is for me, right? That what can you do for me, preacher? Bless me if you can. Make me happy, Brother Tom, as you lead us in worship. And we come in with this mentality that me. And I said that to point out this reason. Church isn't for you. I want to say that again because that's going to make some of you mad, and some of you are going to come tell me how mad you are that I said this. But this church doesn't exist for you. Trying to see who I'm going to have to deal with whenever I get out of church today. Do you realize that you exist within the body of Christ for everyone else? Let me tell you a little bit of my story real quick. After my salvation experience, I really did not have a desire to go to church on a regular basis. It just wasn't my thing. And I began to go. Melinda began to, you know, guilt me into, well, you're saved now. You're supposed to be going to church, you know, all this stuff. And it's all her fault. And it always is. I don't know how that works out, but it's just that woman that God gave me. But anyway, I'm going to get in trouble. By golly, I'm going to do it right. All right, y'all with me? And what I was doing is I was going to church with the idea that, preacher, bless me if you can. Teach me something if you can. I even started going to Sunday school. I mean, I was getting real spiritual. And I mean, it was like, man, that teaching sucks. Sunday school was awful. Help me. Ain't that right? Man, the music stuck. I mean, you're singing them old hymns like you're a bunch of dying cows in there. It was awful. But here's the thing. Here's my life verse some of you may know and some of you may not. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and it says this: do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as in the manner of some. And I had picked up on that, and I'd become committed. I'm like, God, I understand the conviction. I understand that that's where I need to be, and I'm going to start going, by golly. I didn't miss Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, I was there. If I wasn't at work, I was at church. And it was awful. I had no joy in church. I mean, the messages stunk, the preaching stunk, and the teaching stunk, and the music stunk, and it was terrible. But by golly, I was going, and I was ticked off about it. Amen? Well, what I had done was I had read that verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and I had gotten, the Lord had grabbed a hold of me with the first part of it, but he kind of let me go with a little bit till the end of it. And it was this point where I was just in misery where he said, hey, go back and read that thing again. And it says this: do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together in the manner of some. That means you ought to be at church on Sunday, whenever the doors are open. Amen. Sorry. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together in the manner of some, but exhorting one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Well, what on earth does that mean, that word exhorting? That means I'm supposed to come not to be blessed by the preacher, not to be blessed by the teacher, not to receive what I can out of someone else, but I ought to come here with the mentality and the heart of saying, I want to be a blessing to someone else. And I guarantee it will radically change your life in this church. Y'all hear me? Radically change your heart in this church. Why? Because whenever I got that different mentality that I want to go and I just want to encourage that preacher, I just want to encourage that teacher, thank you for spending time in prayer and preparation this week to teach me, and just to go give someone a hug and tell them I love them and shake their hand, and I just began to pour my life into other people. It's amazing. It's the same preacher. It's the same stinking teacher. It's the same dull, boring, dead hymns that we were singing, but all of a sudden, man, it was fantastic. I began to grow and learn, and I'm like, wow, I didn't hear that before. And man, the preacher, he must have just got saved or something because he's preaching so much better. Had anything changed? Me? It was the same teacher, the same preacher, the same everything else. But what had taken place was my heart had gotten a little bit closer to the way God would want it, and things began to look drastically different than what I thought they once did. Membership means that we're all different, but we work together. Number three, membership means that everything that we say and do is based on love. That sounds familiar, don't it? Everything that we say and do is based on love. Let's turn over into chapter 13 real quick. We're going to read the first seven verses. And no, I'm not going to talk about all of them again, but I want to remind you, because a few weeks ago we discussed, as it pertained to our marriage and family series, that we needed to have a foundation for our marriages, that it needed to be founded on Christ and all these types of things, and that that foundation was laid in Christ's love for us. And we looked at these same passages in 13. says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, should so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, am I nothing? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, it's kind. It's kind. Okay, it does not envy, it does not parade itself, it's not puffed up, it does not behave rudely, it does not behave rudely. Okay, does not seek its own. You're getting fewer and fewer of you. I'm getting less of you on board all the time. It's not provoked. Bless your hearts. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, and it hopes all things, and it endures all things. We lost about three quarters of you on the way through. Remember, once again, we're all different, right? We're all individual members, and we all look drastically different. We all behave drastically different. But because we're different, just stop the clock again real quick, Angela. Just because we're all different, that doesn't give you permission to be rude or to be a jerk or a jerkette. Right? Well, that's just my personality, preacher. No, you're just a jerk. Be nice. Our church membership all ought to be based on love. Well, why? Why should I do anything because of love? Because Christ first loved me. And he did all those things for me. He put up with a lot of stuff. And he still does. And because he put up with so much stuff for me, because he was willing to sacrifice, that's what love really is sacrifice, is it not? That I care more about you than I do for my own welfare, that he was willing to sacrifice himself to save me even though I was unworthy to be loved. He loved me anyway. That ought to be the basis for everything that we do within the idea of membership. No, we're not all going to talk alike. No, we're not all going to look alike. No, we're not going to do all things the exact same way. But because I loved you, or because he loved me, I now have the ability to love you and to get over myself. I ought to love you based upon this fact that for no other reason than I owe it all to Christ to love you, because that's what he would ask me to do. And so if we're going to function and have biblical church membership, we can't be having bickering and fighting and back-talking and all this other stuff. Bless your heart, Brother Roy. One or two that agree with that. I wrote this down, and it's not limited to me. I stole it from Mike Napier, which is the evangelism kind of coordinator for the Baptist General Convention. He was, two Sundays ago, he had a class, if you will, at Trinity in Veneta for the pastors in this area, and I went to it. And he said a couple of things that just struck me, and this is one of them. What should be the reason that we do everything that we do in this church? What should be the reason that we do everything that we do in this church? He said there ought to be two reasons that we do everything that we do in this church. Number one is to see lives changed. Number two is to see souls saved. I see some of you writing it, and that blesses my heart. What's the two reasons that we do everything that we do within the church? Number one is to see lives changed. Number two is to see souls saved. So that tells me that because I come in here in love, because Christ first loved me, then everything that I do in this church should be operating through the filter of love, and it ought to be for two purposes: to see your life changed, or to see you saved. Or whether it's your Sunday school teacher, you ought to be teaching for this reason: to see lives changed, or to see your students saved. Whether it's through the music ministry or through our youth ministry, the two reasons that they ought to do everything that they do is through the filter of love, for two reasons: to see our lives changed as they lead us, or to see us get saved. The whole reason that I ought to be preaching is to see our lives changed, or for us to get saved. Now, that's all fine and good, right? Here's where it gets tricky. The whole reason that this church ought to exist is to see lives changed or to see souls saved. Now, do you see lost people banging on the door just to get in here to hear the gospel? The whole existence of this church should not be to build buildings. It should not be to build membership. It should not be to build kingdoms as it pertains to earthly kingdoms. But the whole mission of this church ought to be that us as a whole, on an individual level, spread throughout the ministries of this church, ought to function as a whole to go out into a lost and dying community for two reasons: to see lives change and to see souls saved. See, here's the cool thing about that. All these things are working together for this purpose, that we're all one body in this church, right? Did y'all know that we're all one body worldwide? Okay, point number two is we're all, what was it? I forgot already. Look at that. We all work together. So if this is one member, if we're all individual members of this body, then all the churches throughout all the world should be members individually of Christ's body. Is that right? And so that means that we're supposed to work together. Bless your heart. And did you know that we're going to get a chance to do that tonight? As we go to Veneta and we go with the intents and purposes of partnering with Bunker Hill, with Trinity, and with First Baptist Veneta, and we're doing it for two reasons. Number one, see lives changed and see souls saved. You know, I'm a firm believer. Listen, and I want to make sure y'all hear my heart on this. I'm not here. I'm not your pastor to build Big Cabin Baptist Church. Amen. Y'all like, I don't agree with you. Amen. If that's why you brought me here was to build this church, you brought me here for the wrong reason. Technically speaking, my job description has nothing to do with what they gave me on day one, although it was pretty good. My job description, biblically speaking, is to equip you to go out and do the work of the ministry. So if this church is going to grow, guess whose back it's on? But what I am in the business of doing in the grand scheme of things is building the kingdom of God. And if I will be committed to, here's the other thing that I picked up from Mike, is that we need to begin everything that we do with the end in mind. Well, what's the end? Huh? Man, ain't that, that's just as simple as all get out. I ought to do everything that I do with the end in mind, and that is to see souls saved and to see lives changed. And so if I'm here and I'm your pastor, if I will be committed to having that end in mind, to seeing lives changed and to see souls saved, I guarantee you, if we would all apply that to our life, guess what? God's going to flood people in the doors of this church. Why? Because you're going to be witnessing. All two of you. See, because on the next point, y'all, those of you, the two that are left that are still with me, may lose y'all too. I don't know. We'll see. I got to move on because Tom's wanting me to be out in 20 minutes. Number four, and we're going to close, maybe. Church membership is functioning membership. I'll tell you a story real quick, just so I can take up more time and irritate Tom. I used to fill a pulpit in a church in Veneta, and loved the people there. They were great, but there's a guy, he just loved to pick on me, kind of like Tom. And he worked the soundboard, and the soundboard was in the back right hand side. When it got pretty close to noon, he would start raising his arm up. He was yelling. He's facing me, of course. And he'd start pointing at that watch, and I just smiled, just like I did, Brother Tom. And number four, church membership is functioning membership. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by church membership is functioning membership? Well, remember, Our membership in Christ Church, as well as in this church, should, y'all with me? This is profound. It should produce something. Our membership within the body of Christ as a whole and within this body at Big Cabin Baptist Church, it should produce something. Besides dimpled pews and if that's the truth, can we at least do this? Can we at least agree with this fact that the statement that I just made, that my membership in the body of Christ and my membership in this church should be producing something? Can we at least agree on that? All three of you, we'll see if we can continue on together. If that's the case, have you ever produced anything without investing anything? Let me ask you this. Have you ever reaped out of a garden for which you have not planted seed first? Have you ever reaped dividends from an investment that you haven't made? It is impossible to take and produce anything unless you first do something, and that's invest. Well, what does it mean for me to invest, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. That means that, once again, that you can't sit here and do nothing. I wrote this down, and this is in the book, and for those of you that get it, you will read it again. You say, hey, I can't believe the preacher stole someone else's idea. Listen, I don't have any independent ideas of my own. Every idea I have, I've stolen from somewhere else. It says this: biblical membership gives without qualification. Biblical membership gives without qualification. And I'm paraphrasing this next part, but he says this: our tithes, our offerings, our giving, our serving, our ministering are all done with no strings attached. In other words, to be a member of this church, technically speaking, what that should mean is I can't come in here and do nothing, because technically that's not membership. Membership means I'm an individual part of the whole, and that whole part needs to be operating and working together with the other parts in order to benefit the whole. And if I'm going to be a functioning church member, then I need to be fulfilling the role that God's called me to within the church. And listen, I don't read anywhere where he's called anyone to ride the pine. That means sit on your rear and do nothing, just for those of you who don't know. Excuse me. He goes on to say it should become as natural as any normal function that our body would have in our own physical bodies. Our tithing, our offering, our serving, our ministering, all those things, it ought to be so natural to us, it's though we do it without compulsion. We just do it just because it, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, so y'all want to be quiet now. What's it when you blink? What is that? Involuntary. Our giving, our tithing, our offering, our serving, our ministering, all the things that we would do to fulfill our roles within the church, it ought to be involuntary. It ought to be a natural thing to do. Did you wake up this morning and say, I think I better breathe today? It might be a good idea. No, it just happens. Why? It's involuntary. Do you have to tell yourself to blink your eyes? No, it just happens. Why? It's involuntary. All those things ought to become so natural to us, they just happen regardless of us thinking about them. I'm getting ready to close, okay, y'all? Amen? But I wrote this down, and I wrote this down for a reason, because I believe that it's true. And I believe that it will tick some of us off. Because it's true, and oftentimes we don't like to hear the truth. We who are members of Christ's church should be functioning members within the local church. And here's the quote that I wrote out of the book: the concept of an inactive church member is an oxymoron. The concept of an inactive church member is an oxymoron, and I've stopped the quote, and I'll finish it here in just a minute. what do I mean by the term inactive? Well, I mean a few things. If I go back there in my office and I dig through all the papers that I've got piled up back there, somewhere back there there's a church membership list with a few hundred people on it. And probably a good two-thirds of them, if not more, have a little indicator on the side of them that says that they're inactive church members. Okay? So you just keep that in mind. Here's the other thing that I mean. This is the other thing that I mean. Well, I've been serving in this church for the last 62 and a half years, and I'm just tired. I need a sabbatical, and I'm just going to take and come in and just kind of for a while. Just going to become inactive for a little while. Take a break. Regardless what that is, whether you're a Sunday school teacher or whether you've been vacuuming the floors, whatever it is, I just choose to be inactive for a while. Okay? Now that I've defined what that means, let me go back to my quote. The concept of an inactive church member is an oxymoron. Biblically speaking, there is no such church member that exists. Concept of an inactive church member is an oxymoron. Biblically, no such church member really exists. And I wrote this as my closing statement, and we're going to close. We're going to close different this morning than we probably ever have. That's always nice when we do things different. Amen. I wrote this. If anything is unique to me, I probably stole it from somewhere else, but I'm going to take credit for it. We exist and we function in this church. We exist and we function in this church to be committed to the mission of Jesus, which was to see lives changed and to see souls saved. Now, here's the closing this morning. We're going to have a very public invitation. We know how invitation works. I'm quite sure that at least that everyone in here has been in church at least once in their life. You know, at the end, it comes time for invitation. We want to invite you to take and come. If you have come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, we want to invite you to come. And we're going to have a time for that. I want to give people an opportunity to say, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus today. I want to invite you to come. If you have not been walking with the Lord and in the way that you know that you should, even though that you are saved, you want to recommit yourself to Him today, I want to invite you to do that. I want to invite you, if you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, and that's a public declaration of what's taking place on the inside as you align yourself with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection as you go under the water and come again to new life as you come out of the water. All those things that we would normally have an invitation for, I want to invite you to do that. But what we're going to do first is this. I said that church membership is a very public thing, right? I'm a member of this church, and I'm proud to say that. And what we're going to do over these 6 weeks is we're going to have an opportunity for you to make a pledge and for you to make a commitment. And here's where people are going to start getting really, if I haven't upset you yet, here's where you're going to get upset. I'm going to ask you to stand and to make that pledge. Why? Once again, every decision that you make, everything that you do affects me as it pertains to your membership here. Every decision that I make, everything that I do affects you as your membership's here. Right? So for those of you that are visiting, those of you that are not church members here, I want to encourage you to just bear with me for just a moment. I do want you to at least get this idea that if the Lord would call you here and to be members of this church, this is going to be the same expectation that I would have for you. Right? Here's the pledge, and I'm going to read it right out of the book. And I'm not going to ask you to repeat after me and all that good stuff, okay? But I'm just those of you that are members of this church and you're willing to take publicly and say to every other church member in this room, this is what I pledge to do. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. And I know I'm already standing. If you'd like for me to sit down as my pledge, I'll do that. But here's the pledge that he puts at the end of chapter 1. I like the metaphor of membership. It's not membership as in a civic organization or a country club. It's the kind of membership given to us in 1 Corinthians 12. Because I'm a member of the body of Christ, I must be a functioning church member, regardless whether I'm an eye or an ear or a hand. And as a functioning church member, I will give. Here's the part. Y'all listening? I will give. I will serve. I will minister. I will evangelize. I will study. I will seek to be a blessing to others. And I will remember that if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice right along with it. Now, did anyone miss anything? They want any clarification? I'm going to invite all the members of Big Cabin Baptist Church that belong to this church. They have their little card signed and all that stuff. They on paper belong to Big Cabin Baptist Church. I'm going to challenge you this morning to accept that pledge. And if you do accept that pledge, that you will commit to serve, that you will commit to give, that you will commit to evangelize, you'll commit to do all those things in this church, I want to challenge you to stand with me. Now here's where it gets hard, because everybody else in here sees you. And in a loving way, we ought to be able to hold one another accountable. A good amen would have been inserted right in there. I need to be held accountable, and you need to be held accountable. So what I want to do now is I just want to pray for this group that's standing, and then we're going to have our normal invitation, okay? Father God, I want to thank you for Tom Rainer. I want to thank you for this study that he has done. I thank you, Father, for bringing it to us this morning. Father, all around this room, there's people that have stood and pledged to do the things that we've been challenged to do through this study. Father, some of these things are hard. They're even hard in my own life, and I've experienced how difficult they are, even through my growth and maturity as one of your children. But Father, all these things that he's challenged us to do, it's the very things that you have challenged us to do to test our faithfulness to you, not to test us in such a way, but to prove you of how faithful you are. And so, Father, as we commit to do those things that really in our own mind we just don't know how we're going to accomplish, whether it's through our finances, whether it's through our time, regardless of what it is, Father, I pray that we would be found faithful to live up to the pledge that we're making today. And Father, where it seems as though it's going to be difficult, that you would strengthen us and carry us through those moments as we display our faithfulness to you. So Father, as we've all stood to be accountable to one another, I pray that if I step out of line, that these folks would lovingly come to me and hold me accountable for where I'm falling short, and likewise through each other. Father, help us develop in Big Cabin Baptist Church this sense of love, that we would demonstrate the love that you gave us through the way that we deal with others and the way that we interact with them. Father, help begin building in this church an idea of we need to be committed to seeing lives changed and to seeing souls saved. Father, I want to thank you for them. I pray that you would bless them, strengthen them to be able to accomplish that which they've committed to. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage the rest of you to